Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to episode 244 of Millennial Movie Talk. I am one of your hosts, Michael, joined by Alex.
Hermit Crab 244.
He's been waiting for this day.
244.
Yeah, and Brayden.
Michael, this is, hello.
Hi.
this is Michael's episode.
It's the Michael episode. And by that, we mean Michael did the intro. And I believe, Michael, do you have a question for us?
Yeah. So other than the two conventional pets being cats and dogs, what would be your favourite non-conventional pet?
Did
you think I didn't have a movie-related one, but then I threw that out.
That's fair. That's fair. The further away we continue to get from movie talk, the better.
Unconventional animal to have as a pet.
Now a lot of these end up being animals that you end up keeping in a cage or in a enclosure or a tank.
You could be weird and let it free roam your house. I'm not going to judge you.
But then all of a sudden you're crawling into bed and you've accidentally crushed your pet ferret or some shit. It's like, oh,
I would never crush my pet ferret.
I've got to take my ferret to the vet. Oh, why? Because I sat down on the couch and didn't realize it was there. Oh, no sugar, no caffeine. Alex is ready for a good night's sleep. I respect the hustle.
I don't have caffeine. I don't have any form of caffeine.
Really?
Other than maybe whatever's in Pepsi Max.
There's definitely caffeine in Pepsi Max.
But I mainly drink these, which is zero caffeine.
Damn. Respect.
I haven't had them
before. They're great.
Yeah, it's like if you took, you've already taken Coke and then you've taken the sugar out of Coke and you've gone.
So you might as well take the other main.
This is good. And they're like, oh, what if we take out the other part that fucks you up? And you take out the caffeine, and then it's just Coke flavored nothing, and it's fine.
Coke flavored soda water.
Don't drink coffee. I don't drink iced coffee. I don't drink energy drinks. Damn. So
yeah, I don't touch energy drinks.
I'm not getting any of this stuff from. I'm not getting it from anywhere.
This is pure. I'm a coffee person, and I only recently have fallen to the aid of Red Bull No Sugar.
I don't do energy drinks.
I don't recommend it. It's a slippery slope. Someone was like, hey, you should taste this. And I was like, no, thank you. And they were like, just smell it. And you smell it and it's like, fuck, that smells amazing, but I don't want it.
You know what gets me through the day? It's 8 hours of sleep.
Oh, mate, I wish.
What do you mean you wish?
Just in general.
You can easily get 8 hours sleep.
Oh, yeah. But like,
just go to bed earlier, Brayden.
No, but that's the thing. I just lay in bed and go, all my anxieties are coming to me now.
I have a full-time job and I still get 8 hours. And I get up at my set. I get up at 6:30. I go to bed at 10:30.
Goddamn. I respect that.
And enjoy my sleep.
He's got it down. Enjoy.
Anyway, I think a turtle would be a good pet.
A turtle. That's conventional. I'd say a turtle's conventional.
Is turtle conventional?
Turtles. People have turtles.
Okay. Yeah.
I was more just straying from cats and dogs. So.
Okay.
And fish, maybe.
Birds, too. Fuck birds.
But fuck birds. No, thank you.
Hate them. Enemy of the show, birds.
Especially that one.
What?
Especially the one. Remember the time we're coming home? Well, we're trying to get into your car.
Fuck that bird. Do they have to be real? Does it have to be a real animal?
Yes.
Oh.
I feel like I could tame Godzilla.
Damn. Okay, that's a big call.
That's a big call.
Goddamn. You gonna suplex a motherfucker or?
Oh, what do I want as a pet, Michael? This is an annoying question, you son of a bitch. What would you have, Michael?
What would I have?
You don't even know. I've
had hermit crabs before, so.
That's conventional. People have them.
Yeah.
Is that how you thought of the name? Oh, my God. The lore of Michael's getting filled in.
It is.
It's not the only thing getting filled in.
Yeah, honestly, I thought of the question without actually having an answer.
Axolotls.
I really
cool.
don't know what's cool.
Axolotls.
Maybe yeah. an otter. Otters oh, are fucking cute.
I'd love an otter. Whoa. That would be great.
Otters are extremely cute. Aren't they? Yeah.
Like just having like a massive backyard with a full on lake in it. And just like
having all the otters,
having little family. Oh, some ducks. I'd love some ducks.
No, smoke them, eat them. Yum. Duck is the best meat. Duck is the best meat.
You could, every now and again.
Duck is pretty great. Duck is pretty great.
If there's a duck in my backyard, it's not there for long.
There's a giant lake where Michaela and I are having our wedding. We're hoping that the ducks and the geese are going to walk through the entire proceeding.
You just hope they don't shit everywhere.
What's on the menu for dinner?
Fair. Probably duck.
I could, you give me those ducks and I could whip us up some good duck.
This is a bit dark, but do geese have, like, do people eat geese?
Probably. I've never eaten geese.
I assume probably. That in some places they would, because it's like, just like hunting birds.
Yeah, I've never eaten a geese. Oh,
geese and ducks are beautiful.
What did I say? Otter? Otter, yeah.
Yeah, otters yeah, are a top tier animal. Shout. That's fair.
Well, there we are.
I could smoke an otter.
Oi, oi, oi. There's no need for that.
Oh.
What do you reckon otter meat tastes like?
A hate crime.
Is that one of the ones?
That counts as a hate crime.
Is that one of the ones on like the list of things I can't eat? Otter?
Well, actually, probably. Yeah. I wonder if they're endangered, actually. That might be.
Surely there's not. There's heaps of them at the zoo.
Just give me one. Otter
give me
endangered?
Two. Give me two. Give me one to keep and love and give me one just to taste.
They are marine, giant, southern river, and sea otters are listed as endangered.
So I can't.
You cannot. You cannot cook up some otters.
Well, I can. It just won't.
It'd be very frowned upon.
Again, see, I was right. It's a hate crime. Only it's
flamingo.
An actual.
Flamingo. I know. You can't eat a flamingo.
A flamingo.
You can't do that.
There wouldn't be that much meat on a flamingo anyway, would
remember,
there?
Remember when someone beat that one up at the zoo? Remember
oh, yeah, God. Yeah. Didn't he just like coward punch
fuck
him?
That thing up. Yeah, just fuck that thing up.
God damn. Hey, Alex.
I like to punch a flamingo.
All this animal talk has me thinking about something I saw in your letterbox this past week.
What'd I do?
You watched a wonderful little Australian-made film.
You did. Oh, we've definitely spoken about this on the show before. We don't need to shine a light on Steve Irwin's Crocodile Hunter Collision Course.
What a film, though.
It is a film, notoriously a film. Barely. just scrapes past the categorization of a film.
Yeah, it meets some of the criteria to make a film.
It's one of the ones I didn't rate because it's... As a film, but as nostalgia, and a film that we all watched many a time as a kid.
Very much.
Him, we all know his scenes in the movie. We all know it starts off with him chasing that snake, that fucking
lizard. So good.
Through the rocks. Then he finds the snake on the road, and he's got the spider.
The bird-eating
spider.
Spider in the car and...
Yeah. Oh, it's,
man, what a classic.
There's two things happening in this film. There's whatever they went and shot with Steve and Terry.
Yep.
And then there's whatever...
Whatever plot they were trying to make happen.
Yeah, they basically went, Steve, Terry, go out, film, mention this thing, and we'll make a movie around it.
Classic. So good.
And we will put the lady from Kath and Kim in it.
Yep.
And we're going to put her in it and we're going to make magic.
Yep. And I assume they did well at the Australian box office at least.
You'd hope so, eh?
Oh, no, Americans really liked Steve Irwin as well, didn't they?
They did. Oh, but it's just not a movie though, is it? It's just... I reckon me and my mate were discussing whether the scenes of him, where he jumps the croc at nighttime.
Yes.
In the river. Do you think that's real? Because we have a theory. We think him jumping the croc and getting in, like him actually, the action and all the external shots, we think they're all real. We think the only thing they filmed for that was the underwater shots of him and the crocodile.
I could see
that. Yeah, I could see that. That's a good shout.
Yeah, we really think that that is really him jumping a croc in a river.
Yeah, I can see that.
I wouldn't put it past him for that.
Yeah.
He was quite well, he did known it. For jumping out on
you
of
just,
crocs.
You just watch it and you go, what the fuck is this guy doing? That's what you...
So when you look up this film, Google like gives you the people also ask, and one of them's just, why did Steve Irwin get stung? That's a weird question to ask.
That is
weird. I just want to see how it did at the box office.
It's like the only recorded death by a stingray.
Yeah, that's wild.
And it's on camera. That footage exists.
That's scary.
Sadly.
Its budget was $12 million. And its box office was $33.4 million
worldwide.
That is, I believe worldwide.
Wonder how much of that Steve and Terry saw.
Yeah, bless.
It's just weird because it's a movie, and the rest of the time, the characters are doing their thing, and it's shot like a proper movie. They're acting, they've got dialogue. And then it cuts to Steve Irwin, who's talking directly down camera.
Yeah,
and even like... at the end, and like it's a documentary, like they're filming, he's talking to a camera person and they're doing stuff. And it's a documentary. And then at the end, when they do their scene with when they finally merge the two stories,
yeah, merge the plot on the with back, Steve Irwin.
You know, the US agent man gets on top of his car and Steve gets out in the car and they're doing their little tussle, little action scene. And then there's parts where Steve still turns to the camera and talks. And I'm just like, is there like a wide shot of this cameraman following Steve out onto...
Yep, there's just like, this one camera guy this whole time. That would actually be really funny if they had done that. No, so it made $33.4 million worldwide. 28.4 of that was American.
So, if you don't know what the movie's about, it's about Steve the Crocodile Hunter Irwin, and he basically gets chased down by the CIA. That's the movie. That's real.
That is a actual film from 2002.
Yep.
Goddamn. Well, I'm glad we had this chat because I was
and
just
the song is iconic at the end of the film.
What was the song from?
The remix of Crocodile Rock at the end is it's iconic.
Oh my god. Yeah, the fact that we were spoiled as kids because we had that, and then we also had the Wiggles go to Australia Zoo and team up with them. It's a great time.
Just the Wiggles in general. The Wiggles movie is a beloved classic.
Oh yes,
that CGI Wiggles going to space where they do the Eagle Rock.
Yes.
Yeah, that's it.
That I reckon that was the one I watched nearly as much. Oh.
Yeah, big time.
You didn't watch the Wiggles movie?
Yes.
That's the only reason I know the song Eagle Rock.
That is where I also learnt of the song Eagle Rock.
Yep, 100%.
Do you guys want to... So the Wiggles movie came out on December 18th, 1997. So we were all...
Wait, when? December?
All but Braden. Yeah, 18th, December 18th.
You were not so quite born yet,
Braden. I was not born yet. Oh, no.
So Braden's younger than the Wiggles movie, and we'll mention that for the rest of our lives.
Jesus.
Can you please mention that in his wedding speech?
Yeah, we'll. An inept magician borrows an enchanted wand from the musical Wiggles so he might win a magic contest. That's the movie.
Wow.
See, back then, they used to make cinema.
Yeah. Denis Villeneuve eat your heart out.
Yeah, you know, the Wiggles movie, running time, 83 minutes. They knew exactly how long to make movies. They knew what we're in for. They knew. They didn't overstay its welcome. They just made movies, didn't they, guys?
They were just passionate about movie making. I'm kidding. The Wiggles made bank.
You know, the movie, its budget was $1.7 million and its box office was $2.7 million. So they made money.
Did pretty well.
No, they say you got to double your thing back to get money, and
your home video sales would have been crazy though.
They would have. I have a copy of the Wiggles movie on DVD.
Yeah,
way to do it.
Pop that bad boy in. Yeah, we'll just watch it.
Wiggles movie and chill, and it's good night.
That's what I bring out. I go, hello. I know you want to watch Netflix, but I have the Wiggles movie.
Yeah,
and if you don't want to watch the Wiggles movie, we got Crocodile Hunter Collision Course. Pick.
Yeah. Or Get Out. And I don't mean watch the film Get Out. I mean leave.
No, no, don't not Get Out. We don't watch Get Out. Doesn't hold a candle to
the Wiggles movie.
The Wiggles movie. All right, guys.
Okay, I do want to ask about something recent and relevant to today's society, if that's okay with you, Alex.
No.
I was really interested to hear
to speak of the Wiggles movie.
This episode is going to devolve into
a movie I haven't seen in about 20 years.
I was gonna say well over two
which
decades.
which is really sad to say 20 years now.
yeah that's a reasonable amount of time,
guys. We're old.
We're like adults and shit. That's crazy.
Put your hand up if you're 26. We're all 26.
Yes, I didn't quite hear what you said.
I didn't want to admit it. My hearing going out.
Put your hand up if you're 26. There you go. Put your hand up if you have a mortgage. That's sad. See,
that's sad.
That's the sad part. This is.
Yeah. Yeah. Bless. Is it sad? I wish I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Alex, you saw a new film out this past week called Civil War from A24.
It's about a war and it's not very civil.
Oh, they should call it not so civil war, am I right?
Oh, that would be a great marketing name. This movie where people murder each other.
Yeah, I know. This is actually quite a serious topic. I should stop laughing. How is this one?
It's a good movie. This is straight up. Let's get out of the way with not political. This one, that's not even joking. The way that they make so the message of this movie isn't modern, like a comment. It's not a commentary or satire on modern day politics and your left and your right wings. And they tell you this straight away by saying, "Hey, guess which two states have joined forces? California and Texas." So they're not, so straight away this, they're not saying that it's not a commentary on modern day politics or the state of America currently. It's actually just way more about war journalism than anything else.
Okay.
Because through the whole movie we're following these journalists, these photojournalists throughout a current American Civil War, where basically the president has taken over as a dictator, and we're having a bit of a little war. But
okay,
we're following mainly follow Kirsten Dunst, who plays, I believe her name is Lee. I want to say Lee. I'm gonna keep it Lee.
Looked up the film to make the thumbnail for this episode, I was like, I assume Kirsten Dunst is the main character because she pops up immediately.
Yeah, so we're following Kirsten Dunst, who plays Lee, and also following Kaylee Spenny. She's new. I've never seen this actress before.
Yep.
But she plays Jessie, and Jessie is a really, I think she was Priscilla in the recent Priscilla movie, if I'm not wrong. We're following these two. Kirsten Dunst is like a seasoned, famous war photojournalists. And she's known for going to some of like the most horrific wars and snapping some great shots. And then we've got an aspiring photojournalist, which is Jessie. And she kind of tags along with Kirsten Dunst because it's coming towards the end of the war. And they're trying to make their way through the front lines to get to the president, to get some sort of an interview so they can talk to the president.
Damn.
And what this movie shows is that we're just following, it kind of breaks down what these photojournalism just rolls off the tongue so nice.
Yep, it's way nicer to say than photojournalist.
Yeah, these photojournalists, we're just following them through America. They're interacting with and joining like the front line with both sides of the war, and then encountering a bunch of different really high tense situations. We're following them, and it's just Kirsten Dunst and bonding with this younger, less experienced photojournalist. There we go. it's a really, really great film. It looks great. The cinematography is great. I like the characters. So Chris pitched this to me being like, yeah, the first two acts are really slow, but then like the third act is like, we're in it.
Yeah.
Like we're there. And it made it seem like he said first two acts are not great, but the final act's amazing. And I got halfway through this movie. I'm like, this movie's fucking great. Like,
it's like, what's Chris talking about?
So what's Chris? And then Chris is just like, okay. Chris is just like, no, I didn't mean it like that. But like, yeah, when watching it this time, I was like, yeah, the whole movie just top tier.
So he kind of meant just like the third act really picks up even more.
Oh, the third act is insane.
Okay, yeah.
The third act, we're following a Osama bin Laden-esque mission with the full like forces.
Damn.
So it's interesting. But yeah, no, really solid, really probably great film. Not probably my second favorite film of the year. We're not at Dune Part Two.
That's fair.
Levels yet. But no, this one slaps. This one's really great. Marketing for it's fucking whack though.
I was gonna say marketing I've seen of it, nothing.
The marketing of it has like photos of snipers perched up the top of the Statue of Liberty.
That poster looks like?
Yeah.
I just saw the torch of the Statue of Liberty and I was like, okay. I didn't realize there was even anything.
Very
on
intrigued.
It.
I was very intrigued in this movie from the marketing. So obviously it did a good job.
So it's not like, yeah, but like the marketing did a good job, but people are going to be pissed off by the movie because the movie's not.
They're expecting it to be a war film.
They're expecting it to be like a war film, but we're following journalists and having them talk about what they do and how it affects them. Like these people take photos and see some really horrific shit and got to act like it doesn't affect them at all.
Yeah. Yeah, they're putting their lives on the line to quite literally report on what is happening.
Yeah.
And present what's happening. Yeah, that's a really tough job. I feel for those who do that as their full-time job. They are real troopers out there.
But are they?
On the field.
That movie brings that into, are they? Because they see some horrific shit and they just take photos.
Yeah, but journalism is important and journalism being done right is important. I assume that's something that the film brings up a little bit, but yeah. Okay, I will add this to the list. A film called Civil War would ever really be on my like, oh, well, yeah, I should really check that out. But clearly it is a lot more than just another war film.
They're called war journalists. I should have been calling them war journalists the whole time.
War journalists. Yeah.
Yeah. In the near future, a group of war journalists attempt to survive while reporting the truth as the United States stands on the brink of civil war.
Damn.
Yeah, there's a cool map that shows you because like this movie is extreme. It doesn't spoon feed the audience information. Like there is a news report in the background where you learn about what's happened.
Yeah.
And what like in the news report you learn that
very slight spoilers for the starting plot of this film.
Well, you just learn what the president's done in order for him to be considered a dictator.
Yeah.
And you learn about some alliances, which they share in the poster. There's the Florida Alliance, which goes all the way up. There's the Western Forces, which is California and Texas. And there's the rest of America.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there's a lot of great, really tense scenes, especially one with Jesse Plemons.
How is he in the movie?
He's in one scene, so don't get too excited.
Ooh. Oh, really?
But he's awesome. He is incredible. But apparently he wasn't meant to be in it, and someone dropped out last minute, and Kirsten was like, "Please, just see if you can get him, because he's my husband."
please, we like, need to feed our family.
Like, he probably will come. He probably will come.
Yeah.
If yeah.
Kirsten's like, he's carpooling me here. Like, we might as well. He was going to be there anyway.
4.5 out of 5. Really enjoyed it.
Nice.
Chris really liked it too. Chris bumped his 4 to a 4.5 on the second watch.
Nice. Very nice. Yeah, because his rating was good. Yeah.
He saw it twice, by the way. So,
which is rare for Chris.
He saw it, gave it a 4, was talking to me about it, and then was just messaged me like Friday. We went, oh, my plan's cancelled tonight. Do you want to go see it? I want to see it again. And I was just like, I was out at dinner. I said, I could probably make a 9:30 at TDP.
Nice. Nice.
So.
God damn.
That's what we did.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just Chris. I'm gonna quote Chris's review in Letterboxd just to get him a very good word in.
Yeah, share his voice.
He wrote, a well-made look into the realities of journalism and war. And then he included a quote from the film which says, they are never the man you expect them to be in the end.
Damn.
Ooh.
Very nice.
Go watch it. It's really good. Just don't expect a full-on war film.
Yeah. Okay. I feel like that's good to actually but set expectations
for it. I prefer it more because there is a world. Yeah. And it feels like there's these shots of like the highways bombed,
yeah,
and everything, and like it just felt like a real world lived in. Like we didn't see a war, but we knew so much about the world.
Yeah, yeah. You don't need it to be a like you don't. If it was an action movie, it would just feel like an action movie. Whereas
it'd just be a war, like where it would literally fucking come up with a title card, some writing to tell us what's happened and why America's in a civil war, and yeah, then the movie would start.
And there'd be a bunch of fight scenes. And by fight, yeah, scenes, I mean like shootouts and shit. Like,
or it'd start off with a montage over credits of everything that happened in order to get us to this point.
Yep.
We get fake news reports of,
yeah,
like
news report montage. Yeah, oh, yeah. It'd hit all the niche. Yeah.
I don't want to use this as an example, but the way The Last of Us game and Dawn of the Planet of the Apes starts out, that's, yeah, what they would do.
Yeah, they, yeah,
both,
they
would do that. Both. You know, I use those. They're both exceptional examples of them doing it right, by the way. Yeah,
that is true.
But yeah.
God damn.
Anyway.
Michael, what have you been watching?
Michael, what have you been watching?
So, over the weekend, rewatched Glass Onion because, I don't know, I just keep seeing it pop up and I just haven't watched it in a while.
Nice.
Yeah.
Definitely not as rewatchable as Knives Out. After leaving it for quite a while and stuff, it's definitely, I feel like it doesn't quite have the same feel, I guess.
Doesn't have the oomph, does it, Michael?
Yeah.
Nice. Knives Out.
Knives Out, though, has the best cast.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Knives Out is a bit too stacked.
Yeah. Look, I love the character, like Daniel Craig's character. I think like he brings a lot to Glass Onion, considering it's not quite the big murder mystery you expect it to be.
Yeah, they subvert your expectations once again while still presenting
a
murder mystery.
Yeah, still enjoyable, but yeah, love Daniel Craig's character. But other than that, I've checked out the first episode of the Fallout series.
I've got how much left? Because that's too long of an episode. Episode too gosh damn long.
Yeah, episode one was really long, wasn't it?
How much I got
left? 15.
I've got, yeah, fuck off. Too long. I've got 23 minutes left of episode one.
Cool.
Brayden, have you watched any of it?
Guys, I fucking binge watched this.
Oh.
I wasn't expecting to, but I was really enjoying it.
The best way to say it is I literally bought Fallout 3 because it's so cheap.
Oh my god!
Oh,
yeah,
I bought them all. Michael, on Steam? I've never played a Fallout game.
I did see that you bought it because on Steam it's like you bought it. Then the next line, I bought it.
Oh my god! And yeah, then there'd be with me.
I bought Fallout New Vegas 3 and 4.
Yeah. Mm.
See, I considered
getting 76.
No. I'll get that eventually at some point.
But the reviews are mostly positive now. It sounds like they've fixed it.
I will buy it one day when it's on sale to fuck around on with some people. But
yeah.
See, I've played 4 a bunch. I've played New Vegas. 3 is the one I never got around to. And I saw it there. I watched a thing last night and I'm like, I need to play 3 now.
Oh, but, you guys.
Well, because they're all 75-80% off on Steam at the moment.
Yeah.
They're like $10. It's great.
So I bought the Game of the Year editions for all of them.
Great. Yeah. Good work.
Because
why wouldn't you when they're that cheap?
Well, I think I paid $28 for all 3 of them.
Hell yeah.
At Game of the Year for each of them.
They would making pretty good bank off of this show coming out and respiking interest in it with that sale as well.
Very interesting. Yeah, they put it on sale. Like, I know.
Steep of a sale.
The thing is, at least for three, it is always on sale. It's always on sale.
True.
Well, Fallout 76 is actually a top seller at the moment. It's the top seller on Steam.
I guess they are on Game Pass as well.
Oh, but why wouldn't you get? Yeah, I got rid of Game Pass.
I absolutely ditched Game Pass as well.
But why wouldn't you get? I might get Fallout 76, like, just to have it, because it's $10 and it's normally $60.
Jesus.
So.
My God, that's wild. Anyway,
the show.
Oh, the show.
I want to hear from Choppy of his so far of what he's seen, because he's never played any of the games.
That's the most interesting thing, actually. Yeah, because you said you've played a bunch other than three. I've played three, New Vegas, four. Like, I've been all over those games. I really enjoyed them. Yeah, Alex, what are your thoughts going in?
Well, a big bomb went off.
Multiple big bombs went off.
First of all, shout out Rico from Hannah Montana's in the film.
Fuck yeah.
In the show. As well, it's just like a bunch of random people that pop up. Like the family man from Severance is in it.
Yeah.
The original Poor Atreides is in it.
Yeah.
You know from D?
The evil guy from Lost is on it.
Who's he? Who's he playing?
Man with the glasses. That doesn't help. I will get you.
Is he rocked up yet? Is he rocked up?
The scientist.
I've got 23 episodes. I got 23 minutes left of episode one.
Michael Emerson is his name.
You might not have even got to that yet.
I thought he was pretty early on.
The scientist with the dog. Do you remember seeing a scientist with a dog at all, Alex?
No dog.
Okay, well, you're in for a treat, because there's a scientist with a dog.
Wait, is it... Can I share my screen? Is it this fella here? Because this is what I'm up to. I can show you the exact thing, and I'll mute this so no sound comes through. So, screen three people. Are you all here? Hello. Hey, guys. I know this is extremely fascinating for everyone.
Yeah.
So, I'm up to the scene here.
Yeah.
Yes.
There is a man who looks like he could be an old this man fellow here.
Oh, no.
Nah, that's not what we're on about.
That's the cleric. I bet it's in like up. Oh, no, you've gone.
No,
way too
I felt
far.
I thought he appeared earlier.
Surely he must have.
I feel like he appears in the vault somewhere.
That skip through.
Yeah, let's just have a look through. Let's see.
Does he rock up in the vault?
No, he's not in the vault.
What, evil dude from Lost?
The guy with the glasses.
We got Jackie from Yellow Jackets, by the way. Showing up.
And then they do the nasty. And then...
They do the icky.
Yeah.
What an interesting sort of story for the vault.
Yeah, well, the mystery they present you in this first episode with the three vaults going on, like... It's very
how hardcore was like the raid scene.
Oh my God. This
with
show
the,
is
with
violent.
The song in the back with the song in the background. Oof.
They have that was my main takeaway, because obviously I won't talk spoilers as someone who has watched all of it. My main takeaway with this show is that they have really nailed exactly what you would want from a Fallout TV show. You would want it to, because the appeal of Fallout is you can have all these different stories and all these different moments and these different vaults and what's going on in this big, crazy world. And the world is wacky and silly and funny and also deeply dark and depressing, because that's the tone of Fallout games. And they've done that really well.
It's very ready of not to me.
Oh yeah, that sequence
in the wedding dress.
In the wedding dress, yeah, it was very.
So where's this man with the dog?
He must be coming up, surely.
Is he in the vault at all?
No, he's not in the vault. He's out of the vault. He's. I reckon. Keep going. Let's see.
I'm not, even trying to skim through and see if I can find
him. You know what? I don't think he's in the first episode.
Oh, wow.
No, he is, because I...
Yeah, because you've seen him?
I swore I saw him. Unless I was watching the thing at the
Here's what's coming up in the trailer. At the end, they give you the trailer being like, here's what's happening in this season, which I skipped because I didn't want spoilers.
Unless it was...
Yeah. No, so this show is...
Anyway,
the
evil guy from Lost will be in this show.
Really, really enjoyed it. Again, no spoilers because you guys are just starting it. But
I like what I've seen.
It continues and they really flesh out and delve even deeper into revealing a lot of stuff. Michael, as someone who's played Fallout games before, you're going to be like, oh, they're really like showing us behind the curtain, like how this was all made and what's going on. And
so did someone put razor blades in that person's boot?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's pretty fucked up, hey.
Like, was it... Did she just put her foot in the boot and then cut?
Yeah.
Jeez, ouch. Yeah. Don't you just go, ow, there's a razor blade in my shoe. I'm not going to put this on.
In Australia, like, we have the horrifying thoughts of, like, spiders in our shoes. But, like, can you imagine putting your foot in and just fucking slicing it apart with a razor? Ugh.
That's a dream.
But this show continues to be really, really strong. Alex, with where you're up to, I don't think you've even had a chance to see him yet, but Walton Goggins is fantastic.
He's in the opening of the show.
The opening when he's the cowboy.
When
the
bombs go off.
Yes.
I know he's got no nose because that was in the trailers and the marketing.
Yeah.
But he pops back up. He got no nose.
So obviously, His scene at the end is great. I forgot about that opening scene was fantastic.
Your thumb on mine was very scary.
Oh,
it was very sad.
Oh God. It just hit real, like, they do such a good job of giving you everything you need to get invested in this world immediately. And they're giving you all the little parts that make Fallout interesting, where it's like, it's this alternate future where it was old school, like the 40s, but it's also super futuristic. And like, oh man, this show does such a good job with all of that. Walton Goggins is fantastic. Ella, what's her last name?
Like Purnell or?
Purnell, yep. She's, or Purnell, Purnell, whatever it is. She's really, really fun.
Jackets, we call her.
The guy who play Maximus, the guy who plays him, does a really good job of sort of presenting this dynamic of someone who has only known life in this small community in the wasteland. And it is the reveals in this. Oh, mate, if you like Rico from Hannah Montana being in this and you're like, oh man, cool, he's her brother or whatever, he's in this a lot more, and he's one of the, he's basically the fourth main character, because we've got our three main characters. He's not funny.
Oh,
he's not funny at all. He is,
come on Rico, get the yucks up.
He's dead serious. But the people around him are funny. So,
yeah, Chris mentioned that the vault dwellers are funny.
The vault dwellers are very quirky. Had Chris finished watching this yet, or was he still in the middle of it?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, because
I have a feeling. By the way, he was talking about it. I have a feeling he's binged the whole thing, but who knows?
Yeah, yeah, he was raving about it in the chat, and that was the thing that made me go, okay, yeah, I'll check this out.
Did the episode lengths drop to like 45 minutes ish, or
unfortunately not, they do stick to the hour mark.
That's all right.
But jumping between our main characters and our like ongoing stories, as well as slight spoiler, but you obviously saw it with the opening of the show, we do get more flashbacks to Walton Goggins, and it's incredibly compelling just to be like, what was life like before and what's going on? And it's really, 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 really cool. As someone who's played Fallout a bunch, them sort of revealing a lot of the behind the scenes of. That's what I like about this show. I feel like I'm repeating myself a little bit because I don't want to talk spoilers, but I really like how this show blends the wacky silliness with the serious darkness to it, because you're getting these fun, quirky scenarios that are just so cartoonish and ridiculous, and it's hyper violent, and it's hyper violent like the game was. You'd blow someone's head off and you'd blow someone's arm off with vaults.
I was
stuff.
Not expecting the level of violence we sort of just got.
I was not ready for that at all. It was very unexpected. But
I mean, like, understandable.
Yeah, and where they balance that out is with these moments where they really take a good hard look at the business, like corporations controlling the world side of things with Vault Tech and their other companies and the circumstances in which our world became like that. And it is really compelling. And they have a lot to say about that, which makes it incredibly rich that this is produced and put on Amazon. It's very funny and very ironic that Amazon, giant mega corporation trying to take over the world, have put up this show. Because by the time that you finish this show, you're like, oh dear God, this is bad. But yeah, I really hope you guys stick with it because I feel like it is very much worth it. You get some really, really good moments, whether you like the games or not. If you like the games, there's tons of little visual Easter eggs and a bunch of little references to stuff that you'll really like. Whether you play the games or not, I feel like no matter what, at the end of this season, they sort of hit you with a thing and tease out what could happen with a season two. And you go, yep, I'm down. I want to see them do that. So I really hope they do get to do that. I haven't seen if it's been greenlit for a season two or not, but I hope so. But yeah, I feel like it is, it's really showing, it's like the polar opposite in terms of how to do a video game adaptation from The Last of Us, where The Last of Us was basically a perfect recreation of the game and changing and adapting a couple little things, like giving us the entire episode with the gay couple. I can't remember the actor's name from The Last of Us. Like, that was a great little new original departure from the story of the
Nick
game.
Are you talking about Nick Offerman?
That's the one, yeah.
He plays the president in Civil War.
Oh, that's cool. Fun. A nice little intertwining thread. But yeah, and then so you get the like almost perfect remake adapting it from video game to screen with Last of Us. And then in Fallout, they're not doing that at all. They're just like, hey, this world and this story is interesting. Why don't we just set something in that? And I would love to see them open worlds.
Two, it would have been very, I don't want to say it would have been very hard because you could easily see how they could fuck it up. But
yeah.
I feel like being given a world that has so much material, but so much freedom because of that material, you sort of, you can, and you get given so many like factions from the games and stuff. You could really set it anywhere. LA is an interesting place to set it.
Yeah, it being set so in LA
I'm very interested to see how that pans out because obviously, can't remember where's three set?
I can't remember exactly. Oh, is
New Vegas is
Washington?
Las Vegas. Maybe.
Oh, really,
Washington.
Michael?
Yeah.
I think three is in Washington.
Boston area. Is three? Is four Boston area?
Four's Boston, and then 76 is
Philly. Surely.
No, 76 is in oh shit, what's that area called? The McElroy brothers are from there. I'm trying to remember what it's called. West Virginia.
Oh, Appalachian Mountains.
Yeah, the Appalachian Mountains. They're in West Virginia. But
yeah.
Take me home.
Yeah, because
Country Road. Everybody.
It'd be funny to do an adaptation of Three because one of the main characters in Three, I don't know, because the two of you haven't played it. I guess this isn't a spoiler per se. If you've seen the opening of Three, sorry, there's a big mosquito in my room and I'm trying to swat it every now and again.
I've already started playing it.
Oh, yeah, so you've met your dad, who is played by none other than Liam Neeson.
Liam Neeson, yeah.
He's a lot more expensive nowadays than he was. Oh, maybe not.
He was definitely more expensive back when that came out.
Yeah, actually, he's definitely dropped off a bit since then.
When did Fallout 3 drop?
Probably, definitely after Love Actually. That's how I measure.
Fallout 3 was
If it was when Taken was coming out, that's crazy. They must have spent so much money on Liam Neeson being in that game. But
they really pumped out New Vegas after 3 because there was only 2 years between them.
It was
and Bethesda's not known for making games quickly.
Because fun fact, now we're really deep talking video games. Fallout New Vegas was actually not the main Bethesda team, whatever they're called.
Oh, it's Obsidian.
Obsidian, who was a subsidiary. Yeah. They
isn't that the thing that they game. They gave them the license to go make their own Fallout game, and it's now probably the best Fallout game.
It's the cult classic. I think
a lot of people's 3 still considered the best one, or is New Vegas sort of
3 has definitely aged quite a bit. People really like New Vegas because it really modernizes the feel of the original Fallout games, in which you can really tackle a lot of situations from so many different ways. Like you can, like, yes, of course you can like occasionally have the option for like a charisma based thing rather than a like gun toting fighting thing. But in New Vegas, that freedom is like even more and you can really expand that a lot.
Have you guys played the 1997 classic Fallout?
No, I've not played the original Fallout. It looks pretty rough.
So does number 2.
As someone who has really liked the Fallout games before, the main 3 that come to mind at least, I didn't even think about how much I've enjoyed those games before until I was enjoying the show so much and I was like, oh yeah, I really did like those games. And then I saw them on sale and immediately bought them again. So yeah, but I'm really interested to hear your guys' thoughts on it as you continue on. And hopefully once we've all watched it, we can chat about the real spoilery stuff because it's really interesting. That's the only other thing that I've watched this week. Other than
I also believe that is the only other thing that I saw.
I watched Bridesmaids for the first time. I've never seen Bridesmaids before.
I have not seen Bridesmaids.
Everyone talks about this. It's like, it's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah, that's kind of
it does its job as a comedy. It's funny.
Some people say it's best comedy ever. Like,
I wouldn't say so.
People rave about it.
It's funny. It's the best Melissa McCarthy performance ever.
Okay.
Maybe. It's like I watched her in this movie and I went, oh, she can act.
What like, was that? I feel like there was one movie that I saw where I was like, oh, Melissa McCarthy in this is actually pretty good. I can't remember what it was though. I'm going to have a look at her.
Cats. Bridesmaids, good movie. A good, fine comedy. Good comedy, fine movie. There we go. Other than that, I've been watching Shameless. And Shameless, Frank's still the worst human ever made. And shit's going crazy in season 5. And that's where we're at in Shameless.
Fair enough.
6 to go after the season. 6 to go.
God damn.
Oh, wow.
11 seasons of Shameless. Shameless went through... Shameless started in 2011 and had a season during the pandemic where they addressed COVID being a thing.
Crazy.
How Absolutely many crazy. Episodes did they do a season?
12. 12 45 to 50 minute episodes. Yeah, the whole consistently 12.
Okay. At least it's episode. Not
I always thought it was more the sitcom format of like 25 minute-ish with like 20 that would something be, episodes.
The worst point in TV history was when they were still doing sitcom amount of episodes, but they had gone to longer 40 minutes. Episodes.
Are you talking about The Flash?
Yes. When
The Flash was doing 24.
Lost is also notorious. Yeah. Was notorious.
Why were
that?
They so long? Oh, and you just end up with filler, and it was just ugh.
There's another well-known show that did that. It was Lost, The Flash, and something else. Can't remember what it was, but yeah 50-minute episodes.
That was a rough time for TV.
Unbearable. I think The Sopranos is a bit like that, to be honest.
Yeah.
But that's a good show, and I'll watch that.
Yeah. Yeah, there's obviously exceptions to the rule, but
your show needs to be extraordinary for that to...
Yeah. How many episodes were in Breaking Bad? Lost.
Nah, Breaking Bad never peaked above like 12 or 18.
Yeah. Okay, good. I've been watching wrestling. I am so in. Raw After Mania was very fun. That was a good one last week. SmackDown was good. I liked that. I started it about, because it's Saturday mornings for us. I started it about 20 minutes to a half hour late by accident, but it meant that I could perfectly skip through all the ads, which was the best way to watch it.
SmackDown reminds me of having Saturday morning cartoons again.
Yeah. Oh, you just like, you get up and like, you're not really doing much with your morning and your day. And you're just like, oh yeah, I just get to enjoy something first thing in the morning. I've been loving all the "you deserve this" chants for Cody, Sammy, and Bailey. They've all been really sweet. And then I haven't watched it yet, but I did see two clips from Raw today. One of which being...
I haven't seen it. Don't you spoil it.
You don't
have not seen it.
Okay.
No, I watch it. I watch it. I keep off social media so I don't get spoiled.
Okay, yeah. Then I will not talk about it.
Brayden, I think I've seen the big thing that you're talking about.
Yeah, so. we'll talk about it next week. But so I'm going to watch that after this. But yeah, I'm loving being back into wrestling. It's so much fun. And yeah, I keep recommending it to people. Just other people. I'm like, hey, did you ever watch wrestling when you were a kid? And they're like, oh yeah, I'd watch it a bit with my like family or whatever. Like my cousins would watch it, and I'd be like, yeah, you should get back in it. It's really good. I feel like I'm doing a press tour for them, being like, hey, try this out. And I did order myself in a copy of a apparently very good comic book by a definitely very good comic artist and writer, Daniel Warren Johnson, a book called Do a Powerbomb. Which is a original graphic novel about wrestling. Like, it's not WWE, obviously, because they need the license for that, but it's apparently very good. So, but cool. Yeah, it's a good time. It's a good time. And I think that's about it. Again, I'm very excited for you guys to continue watching Fallout. I am very interested to hear your thoughts. And hopefully we have Chris back next week and you guys have watched more of it and then we can all talk about it. That'll be fun.
Indeed.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think with that wraps up episode Hermit Crab 244 of MMT Millennial Movie Talk, movie, TV, and WWE podcast. Thank you so much for joining us for Michael's very special episode.
Indeed.
Thank you.
And, follow us on your podcasts and your reviews and your subscribing on the YouTubes and your likes and your comments and all that. Thanks. And as always.
And I'm Alex.
I'm Brayden.
And I'm Michael.
And we're out of here. Goodbye.